Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. At the beginning of 2014, the Lord said to me, "The church must this year don glory." He had given me a revelation of the glory many years ago. And we're going to be playing for you now from CDs made all those many years ago of that message he gave me.
Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, I offer it to you this way. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How in this world did you do it? How did it happen? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will." He was the first to take his chooser and choose opposite the wondrous will of God. He developed another will. Verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And we have here his famous five I wills. We know that he fell. And we know that when he fell, there really was a great conflict in creation. For the first time ever, a creature's will crossed God's will. A war ensued. An attack was made against heaven and against God. We know how it turned out. Jesus tells us in the book of Luke, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky." When God created earth, it was not without form and void. You could read Jeremiah 4:23 and get a further Bible explanation on what happened when the earth became without form and void. God made it the only way he knows how to make anything, gloriously. It was a glorious heaven. It was a glorious earth. The New Testament tells us God is light. There was a time when God removed himself from the earth. And then, of course, when he started to work back with earth again, the first thing he said was, "Let there be light." He wasn't talking about the sun. The sun didn't come till day four. He was talking about himself. For something so horrible had happened on earth, something so terrible, that God had removed himself from earth. There was no light. Now, read it here in Jeremiah 4:23. "I beheld the earth, and lo, it became without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man." This couldn't be Noah's flood. Eight men were left. This was a time when nothing was left. "I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was as a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down." And here's what broke them down: the presence of the Lord and his fierce anger. "For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end." As God again began to move with this little orb, earth, the first thing he said was, "Light be." God be back here again. We watch the creation story, or really the recreation story. We see him call forth the seed from the earth. And that's the way it reads in Genesis 1. He called forth the seed that was already in the earth, lying dormant, and it sprang forth again. And then we watch him create, and the sun and the moon, and we see him create the animal life again, and he's worked on this place for 6 days. And then all of a sudden, on the sixth day, with heaven watching and the regions of the damned watching, God steps up to center stage and makes an announcement which rocks all creation. "Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over the works of God's hands." God showed me this one day, and he said, "I did not create man in a corner. I stepped to center stage, and all creation watched. All of heaven watched me. Turn with me to Psalm 8, and we'll look at it more closely. This is my favorite account. Paul quotes this in the New Testament. And Paul says of this passage, a being in a certain place said. One said in a certain place. He didn't quote the psalm. Really, the psalm is quoting what the being said. These are the words of a being who was watching the creation, an angel. This marvelous creature of God was watching God create man. And these are his comments. Psalm chapter 8, we'll start with verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, see, he's just watched that creation, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What gave you that thought, God? Your God, the great God of glory, what is this man that you're mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. I can't prove this, but I can't see in the Bible that God called on angels. Seems they had to approach him. But here's a creature God visits. And the angels shocked. Verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. The purpose of man is to have dominion over the works of God's hands forever. I did a book for Lester Sumrall. He said this, birds were created to fly, fish were created to swim, but man was created to dominate over the works of God's hand, and you will either dominate or be dominated. But going back to verse 5, thou hast made him a little lower than, and King James says angels, but you know, that's not angels, don't you? You know that original word in the original manuscript is Elohim. And it's the word for God used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created. It's a plural word. It even shows us in a way the Trinity of God. Thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This angel says, oh God, what have you done here? You've made a creature that you call man. You're mindful of him, and you put him in a slot just a little lower than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Man, not lower than angels. We're going to judge angels. But when he crowned the man, he placed forever the position of man in the heart of God and in the plans and purposes of God. Nothing's going to stop it. I take great delight in that. Because the devil sure tries. But when God put that crown on him, the devil was watching. And God didn't say, ooh, I'm scared to put this crown on him. He might miss it somewhere along the way. He put it there. You see, we look at things like this with tunnel vision. We can see clear till next Tuesday. Maybe Wednesday. We might be looking way over to Christmas now. But God doesn't see things the way we do. And God knew all about that when he stepped up before all creation and crowned the man. Now, the crown wasn't made of diamonds. And the crown wasn't made of rubies. And the crown wasn't made of gold. The crown was made of the most marvelous substance there is in all creation. Let's see what it is. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Glory. This is a crown made out of glory and honor. God said to me one day, I wish you'd look and see what my definition of that is. And he led me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 27, and you won't find this if you don't have a King James. But the words are exactly the same in the Hebrew. Sometimes some translations are better in one place than some another. King James gets it just right here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 27. Now say this with me. Let's read it together if you have King James. If not, listen. Glory and honor are in his presence. Glory and honor are in his presence.
crowned the man with the crown, he crowned himself with the very presence of God. And somehow clothed with it. He wasn't naked. God didn't make naked creatures. Vulnerable, part of nakedness means you're vulnerable. We wear clothes for protection. We used to wear glory. Glory and honor are in his presence. Somehow man was crowned with, set upon, and clothed in the presence of God, the glory of God. And when he fell, we hear him say, I hid myself from the presence. Crowned with glory. Crowned with the presence of God. One morning I was combing my hair, getting ready to go teach the church. And the Lord said to me in that spiritual moment, do you know Romans 3:23? Of course he knew I knew it. I was raised Baptist. Good Baptist. Loyal every day coming to church Baptist. Learning the word Baptist. Knowing that it's the integrity of God. So I knew what Romans 3:23 was. I was glad he asked me a verse I knew. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said it to him. I caught myself when I said it. I'd always said it like this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, but the Bible's not like that. The Bible means what it says. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. We've come short of the presence, the manifested presence of God. We can't stand it anymore. I'll tell you, it starts to show up and people get scared. Just as bad as they did back there in the Old Testament. God help us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The man, as all creatures of God, are required to choose God. God just didn't have a computer programmer down in you that says, praise the Lord, read the word, read the word. The man was crowned with glory and honor, but for him to be of everlasting good, he's got to choose God. Amen. And Lucifer turned, Satan tempted the man, and you know the story. The man fell, and Romans 3:23 says to us, the fall was from the glory. Mankind sinned and fell from the glory of God, the presence of God. We'll pick it up here tomorrow.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim again, and you've been hearing a classic message that came many years ago of a revelation of the glory of God. We do have this series from those days on a CD in a 5-CD package that we will be glad to send you for $20. Just call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and request the classic A Glorious Church.